Welcome back. One of my great friends and a man I admire tremendously for his passion about Chicago history is Greg Borzo. He has been trying before I got sick 2 years ago. We're in the midst of trying to get me hooked on pickleball, which he is something I think of an expert. He has dedicated his latest book, a wonderful book, a really wonderful book, A History Lover's Guide to Chicago, dedicated to all my pickleball friends, too numerous to be named here, but too good to be true, 00 start. You really are hooked on pickleball, aren't you?
I really am. I'm playing three or four times a week,
Wow. And
it's fun. Maybe I should do my next book on that, because it's fun and it's intergenerational.
Yeah, that's what I hear and that's what I see, and I keep seeing more and more. When you first told me about it, I'd never heard from it anymore.
You thought I was nuts.
I didn't think you were nuts, because I've played every racket sport, and I'm at advanced stage now where I think something a smaller court with a slower ball would be right up my alley.
Yes.
Greg has written some of my favorite books about Chicago history, among them the Chicago L, Chicago Cable Cars, Where to Bike in Chicago. I don't bike in Chicago anymore, but that's a good book. Two of the best, most recent, I think, were Chicago's Fabulous Fountains. And you did very well, I think, because it appealed to cross-generational lost restaurants of Chicago. And that was, I think, a brilliant idea, and you pulled it off in your typical excellent fashion.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk about all those. How did A History Lover's Guide to Chicago come about? Because there are a lot of books like this, Greg.
Well, the History Press has a series across the country. And they asked me to do this one for Chicago. The point is that it's not a guidebook for tourists or
exactly.
to tell you where to get the best donuts in town. It's a guidebook for people who love history and who know a little but don't know everything. None of us do.
Of course.
And so that's the genesis of this book.
Was it up to you to choose, because I think you did a great job of choosing the chapters, or is this a kind of format?
No. I chose the chapters and the topics and what to include, what to leave out. A lot ended up on the clipping floor, of course.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through the entire book, or what we can get to in the next 45 or so minutes. But some of the, a chapter about libraries is so dear to my heart. Another one about cemeteries is so dear to my heart. In many, many cities across this country can't do something like that.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you pinpointed that chapter on libraries, because when I proposed it, with my outline to the publisher,
sure.
it's like, are you sure about that?
Did they really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an unusual topic
is.
To,
but
to deal
with. You know me and my work. I've written about libraries for years and spent so much time in libraries and find, libraries I find, Greg Borzo, to be now kind of, with the internet and all that jazz, kind of ignored.
Right.
Don't you think?
I agree, but they're trying to reinvent themselves and be more pertinent. Computer labs for teenagers and the One Book, One Chicago. They're doing a lot to try and
I think
remain
also
relevant.
For we're not part of the latest wave of immigrants to Chicago and haven't been for many years, but I think they are really invaluable for immigrants who don't have access to computers, many of them, and who need the resources of a library. I think it's always bugged me that people think, oh, a library, who needs it? I went there when I was a kid and they had a bunch of books and now I don't need them. But do you find they're doing an able job of reinventing?
Absolutely. I'll give you just one example.
Sure.
They are now building senior citizen housing with libraries incorporated into them. So you have a Chicago Public Library on Taylor Street in Little Italy in a building that is offering affordable housing for seniors and families.
Really?
And so you get all those synergies where it works together.
Well, he, of course, in this chapter on libraries, directs you to the Preston Bradley Hall, which is the Chicago Cultural Center, which used to be the main branch of the Chicago Public Library. Also, one of the great libraries, the chapter on library, it's worth the entire price of the book, whatever that may be, $23, $24 for the library chapter. I'm
but
serious.
You made my day there.
No,
Thank you.
I'm dead serious about that. Yep. The Blackstone Memorial Library, which a lot of people don't visit because, first of all, it's difficult to even see.
It's hard to find, but they have to visit it. It's the first branch library, and it was funded all by donations to honor Mr. Blackstone. And that's just historically, that's very important and interesting.
It's also remarkably beautiful, you know. And also the other another one that is close to my heart is the George Cleveland Hall Branch Library. I even mentioned it today in writing a piece about Hydea Pendleton and the fact that they're going to have a garden in her honor at. At the new Obama Center, Hydea Pendleton was shot dead in a park named for a woman named Vivian Harsh, which always struck me as one of the great tragic tragedy on its own face, but a tragic irony that this poor little girl was shot in the park named for the first black librarian in what was the first black
branch.
How did it come to be? Because it is another ignored hero who made this happen.
That's right. And that library opened in Bronzeville. I forget the exact
1932.
Date. Thank you. 32.
I'm looking at easy for me to say. I'm looking right at it.
And when that library decided to open a special Negro collection, none other than the chairman of the Chicago Public Libraries expected a race riot.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember that guy's name, but it's probably in here. But I mentioned that, too, that he thought there's going to be a race riot. And people such as Andrew Kolar was his name. How do I know that? Because I'm looking at Greg's book. You know, and it inspired a lot of, you know, the great writers who grew up and lived there. Gwendolyn Brooks and Langston Hughes and Lorraine Hansberry.
Richard
Wright. And it's also a beautiful library, don't you think?
I agree, yeah.
You walk in there on any day. I don't know what the particulars are now with school kids and stuff. And in the old days when I would walk in, you'd see tons of kids in there.
Oh, nice.
And it was really...
But architecturally, it's quite
it's
an interesting building.
So is the Blackstone, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've often thought, and Greg Borzo's new book, A History Lover's Guide to Chicago, will lead you to these places. And I guarantee you, I don't care how well you think you know Chicago, you will find things to do here and things. You don't have to go. You can learn about these. And if you were compelled to go,
you'll want to go after.
I couldn't agree. I could not agree with you.
And you won't
more.
Find many of these items in any other guidebook. This is for history lovers.
Yes, exactly. And you have the Little Italy branch library too, which is really something. I will now go to the cemeteries is too much. You have also there are a lot of buildings in the library section that. There's a certain building I will mention in a moment. And it's one of, I think, many buildings. There are a lot of buildings in Chicago that are so majestic and so dramatically built that they often are, if not off-putting, at least seem kind of secretive. They don't say, hey, come on in here. You know, they don't have barkers outside. One such in the library department is the Newberry Library.
Very true, yeah. Kind of off-putting, very formal.
Very formal. And I think for many years, you did have to have special access to get into that place. No longer.
True. Now they have exhibits that are quite fascinating, drawing in public attendees.
And a fabulous new, relatively new gift store, too. Another one of those such places I have ever thought, and it is one of the fascinating buildings in town. Again, it's in Greg Borzo's new book, A History Lover's Guide to Chicago, just published, right?
Yes, a couple months ago. Just came out.
The Elks National Memorial.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, isn't that something? It's on page 86. Who took the pic? Do you take the pictures?
I did shoot 95% of the pictures in the book.
You're a good photographer, because I remember that from the Fountains book. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that. But you put your finger on things in a magical way. The Elks Monument, this photo, was going to be on the cover because it's such a majestic-looking building.
It looks like something out of ancient Greece that it, just right, renovated or something. Right. But the thing about it, Greg, it's another one of these buildings. It could not be a more prominent structure at the corner of Diversey and Sheridan on the southwest corner of Diversey and Sheridan. Mm-hmm. And I've known people who've lived in that neighborhood for 40 years who've never gone in.
And guess what? You can go in.
Exactly.
They're open, and they welcome people.
They do.
And if you go in, you won't forget the inside of the building because it's really quite over the top in terms of statuary and frescoes.
Yes. And, I mean, it's a ridiculously wonderful place to visit, and it is. I mean, every time I've been in there, it's unbelievably welcoming. The mm-hmm. people who work there are nice.
Right.
You know, they're not going to let you have a picnic inside, but it really is something. You must have had an absolute ball doing this book.
I did, and I thought I knew a little bit about Chicago history before I tackled it.
Well, you know,
but I learned so
me,
much
my
more.
Friend, you knew a hell of
and
a
it
lot
was,
about Chicago
well, thank
history.
You, but it was so, like you say, so much fun. I was running around town saying, "I'm, you know, this is my job."
Yeah, really, really. And I think, you bring that, I mean, in every one of these, they're not long takes on many of these places. Some are only a paragraph long or a paragraph or two long, but you can sense Greg Borzo's passion. Greg, you don't have a website, do you?
I don't. I used to.
I love you for that. I don't either. No, I mean, I think it's very valuable for people and authors, and Arnie Bernstein has a website, and it's one way of kind of marketing yourself, but you don't.
I don't. It takes time, and I'd rather bike around town.
It takes constant time.
So true. To update it.
Yeah. And
so
to keep
I
it
spend
updated.
My time doing research, running around town looking at things.
We will dip into, in the next half hour after the news, we will dip into Greg Borzo loves the lakefront. He has a chapter on disasters. He has a chapter on universities. He has a chapter on monuments, markers, and memorials, which is fascinating. He, of course, with his background, has a chapter on transportation around town. The History Press, who published this book, they were amenable to, you didn't have any fights with them about.
Well, all the other books in this series around the country, and there's like 20 or 25 of them, are black and white. So I fought to get color into the book, and they're happy that it worked out that way. So that was one little, not fight, but...
Oh, I bet they're happy, because these are beautiful. They really embellish this in a wonderful way, especially the fact that one of the great shots in here is of a typewriter in the American Writers Museum. It doesn't say whose typewriter this is, so I don't... I've been up there. I wrote about these typewriters.
Oh, you love typewriters.
I do love typewriters, and I love that museum, too. It's another underrated sort of secret museum. It's
overlooked.
On the second floor at 180 North Michigan, and that's one thing. As we start to come out of this two-year cave we've been locked up in, this is a perfect book for which you could use to explore.
To get out and about.
And... Not just to find new things, but to reacquaint yourself with the wonders of Chicago. Greg will be here all the way to 6:30, so stay tuned. You're going to hear some news now, and thank you for not watching the Super Bowl until the second half, because it bores me. Welcome back. Greg Borzo, who, God love him, doesn't have his own website, but he has an incredible facility for writing books about Chicago history. Among my favorites are a couple of his most recent ones, Chicago's Fabulous Fountains and Lost Restaurants of Chicago. His latest is A History Lover's Guide to Chicago. It's part of a series done by the History Press, and I've not seen the other 20 or so History Press books, but I guarantee you this is the best of the bunch. He gets to pick his own chapters in collaboration with the History Press, and we were just talking about his chapter on libraries. He also has a chapter, before we get to cemeteries, which are among my favorite weirdly places, not weirdly, I find cemeteries to be beautiful outdoor art galleries and beautiful outdoor history lessons and usually beautiful spaces.
Graceland is an arboretum
as well as
a cemetery and a park.
Before we get to cemeteries, I want to talk about military. Military Matters is an interesting chapter. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that, again, these other 20-some books in the history press series has that. One thing that strikes me, the four Dearborn markers, of course, I know because I used to walk across them every day on my way to the Tribune Tower. Camp Douglas is really just, has ever intrigued me. And you have, two. You have Camp Douglas and Camp Douglas Historical Marker. Tell people what Camp Douglas was, because there are still people who don't know.
And it's so important to the Chicago history. It originated as a training camp for Union soldiers, but then as the Union won some battles in the Civil War, they got a lot of prisoners, and those prisoners had to be put somewhere. And Chicago was far enough away from the battlefield that it was a good place to put them. So they converted this Union training ground into a prisoner of war camp. And up to, 20,000 prisoners at one time could have been kept there. Very tough conditions.
Oh, tough conditions and miserable weather, too. I mean, remember Chicago. How would you like to be in a prison camp in Chicago?
Right, with no shoes.
Yes, as you now know, there are efforts to try to do something. A man named David Keller is in the process of trying to...
And there are archaeological digs on the site, et cetera.
Also in this chapter is one of my favorite, sometimes ignored statues, is the page 43, the... General John Logan Memorial. I first, I probably encountered it as a kid for sure, but then remember in 1968 as people who looked something like me but were a little older were protesting and climbing it during the Democratic National Convention here in 68. And Logan, without realizing that this is a man who basically was responsible for the foundation of Memorial Day and Logan Boulevard and, Logan Square and all sorts of other things. That's something that you, Greg Borzo, really appreciated is how one thing can resonate and have a ripple effect.
A connection
throughout. Across the city. Do people know, for instance, ladies and gentlemen, there's a Ulysses S. Grant Memorial here? I think many people who walk through the park, it's a little hard to see even from the drive, don't you think? Mm. You have to be on foot to see it best, don't you think,
Absolutely.
Greg?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, it's so important.
Yeah.
And Lincoln and Grant were so close. That's how this memorial ended up in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of Lincoln stuff here. But also, he has... a couple armories here. I know a few of them. I'm just trying to tell you what Navy Pier's sort of prominence and special relationship to World War II he discusses. Mm-hmm. The Ford City Mall. Yeah. What does that have to do with the military?
Well, it was a plant to build aircraft.
See, but that's the amazing thing, and that's what you'll find in this book, the number of surprises. Also, there is, I think it's, where is it now? It used to be at, I think, and you have this listed too, the National Veterans Art Museum, which is 4041 North Milwaukee Avenue, near one of my favorite rib places in the world. but also you have the Above and Beyond. I think that originally was at the museum.
Absolutely right.
Now where is it? And what is it?
It's currently at the Harold Washington Library, and it is a collection of over 58,000 dog tags, one for each U.S. Military person who died in Vietnam or went missing in action.
It is striking.
It's
and haunting.
So sobering. Yeah. So the dog tags are not the original ones there, but they were hand pressed by veterans, with each one named specifically after one of those people who died.
Yeah. Another place that is little known but is a spectacular joint is the Pritzker Military Museum and Library.
Yes.
It has one of the... Jennifer Pritzker, Colonel Jennifer Pritzker, who retired from the National Guard, launched in 2003 over on Fairbanks or someplace. I think it was on Fairbanks. And it's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on the second floor or third floor, and nobody knows it's there.
And that it's not only a library. They have art exhibits there, and they have programs.
Programs.
They have a beautiful studio. Bring in speakers from around the
world. Medal of Honor winners, mm-hmm. and that stuff. We will, when we return momentarily, finally get to cemeteries. Again, the name of Greg Borzo's latest book, and you can Google Greg Borzo, B-O-R-Z-O, and find out all the books he's written. He does not have a website because websites would keep him from playing pickleball and riding his bike around the city. You got no time for that kind of nonsense. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I have more than 10 solid minutes with my friend Greg Borzo, one of the eminent historians of this eminently fascinating town. We get now to Chapter 5 in his newest book, A History Lover's Guide to Chicago. Cemeteries. This, you know, whenever I tell people, I've written about them plenty, that, oh my God, I love cemeteries. So you get a look like, you know, what's the matter with you?
Yeah,
don't
like
you?
Like you're morbid,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, ghoul of some kind.
Yeah, yeah.
The cemeteries in Chicago are, to my mind, you know, I've been to some in Paris and there's some in New Orleans. I mean, there's some amazing cemeteries around this town. And I always recall, you'll love this too, of trying to break into the couch mausoleum near the what you have here, of course, near the Chicago
history. So did you get arrested or what?
No, they, you know, my best friend was Patty Bowler's grandson.
Oh.
Patty Bowler being the alderman of the 43rd Ward, in which the coach mausoleum stood. And so they'd go, get out of here. You know, we never got arrested. And we never were close to breaking in. We'd try with baseball bats and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, wow.
I'm not even sure I want to know what's in there. But you do mention that. But you mentioned places like, you know, Oak Woods, which is one of the great ignored, I think, cemeteries in this town. Graceland, justifiably, is the most famous.
Absolutely. But Oak Woods is so important and unfortunately ignored, as you say, but it is the site of the largest mass grave in the north, in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of makes it important. How
Who's
did that
buried
happen?
There?
Who's Confederate
buried?
Soldiers.
Yes, I know.
Who died at the...
at the aforementioned Camp Douglas.
Douglas that we talked about, and they were then buried in the city cemetery, which then became Lincoln Park, and then those bodies had to be moved somewhere. And some of the other cemeteries didn't want to take them.
Yeah.
So these bodies were interred all in a mass grave at Oak Woods.
And you know, one of the things at Oak Woods, and one of the problems at Oak Woods is in a sort of disenfranchised neighborhood on the south side. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons. Graceland is not in a disenfranchised neighborhood on the
mm-hmm.
north side.
Mm-hmm.
But Oak Woods is the resting place of Jesse Owens.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was out there, it was for the funeral of Karen Lewis, the late head of the Chicago's Teachers Union,
CTU.
And a wonderful person. And
mm-hmm.
she happened, we were out there, it was a very cold, cold day during COVID. And she is buried next to Harold Washington.
How
isn't that something?
How appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, how interesting.
It's interesting and good for me for one reason is that when people come there years and years and years from now, you know, people say, this is Harold Washington. He was the first black mayor of the city of Chicago. And maybe the kids will go, now, who's this lady? And they'll be told.
Hopefully.
The great kid. There's a certain immortality in that. Graceland is one of, I have a lot of friends, Robert Lorzel at the paper.
Oh, sure.
Who loves to wander and see the wildlife, frankly. Take deer and all.
Fox. I've seen fox in Graceland.
Graceland is a remarkable piece of land,
mm-hmm.
don't you think?
Yes, and so large. and so well, beautifully maintained. Yeah.
And it is, and they have, you can have self-guided tours. I am sure there are regular tours there. And the one of the great unknown things that, of course, Greg talks about in his book is that, you know, when George Pullman is buried there, and when Pullman was buried, his relatives determined that he should be encased in railroad ties and concrete because they were afraid grave robbers were going to come in and steal
anarchists
or someone
who would desecrate his body.
But the great thing about a guy like Pullman is a lot of people hated him. Another fascinating chapter in this is when you have sports, you talk about the Cubs, of course, and Wrigley Field and blah, blah, blah. And the Hotel Carlos on page 198. What's the significance of that?
Well, that's where a disgruntled girlfriend of a Cubs player shot a Cubs player.
Annie Waitkus. Yeah.
Yes.
And gave rise to, that is the story that's the basis for Bernard Malamud's novel, The Natural, which became a Robert Redford movie. But that's great. It's still there at 3834 North Sheffield.
And what about the burial site for Cubs fans out at Bohemian National Cemetery?
Right.
You can
right.
have your ashes buried in a Cubs monument, which is constructed to look like the wall of Wrigley Field covered with ivory.
And the great,
there are lots of openings
yeah.
on that wall, on that columbarium.
And you also, in the sports chapter, you have, of course, the Billy Goat Tavern, a place, the one on West Madison Street. But it just, Greg, this is just a fabulous and remarkable
what
book.
What about Billy Sunday, the baseball player turned preacher?
Right, right.
You know the song, but a lot of people don't know who Billy Sunday is.
Of course.
So,
the town that Billy Sunday could not shut down.
Chicago.
You, of course, have bicycling. You have to have a bicycling section in the... You have softball. I'm talking about where that was invented, at the Farragut Boat Club. Bicycling is important. And you also have... I know a lot of people who play it and are in the Chicago's 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame. Did you even know, ladies and gentlemen, there was a 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame? It's in Forest Park, which is a great, great suburb.
So all of you who have broken fingers thanks to 16-inch softball, go visit that museum.
Now, you don't have a... Well, maybe in one of the later editions, you'll have a pickleball chapter in here.
There's an idea.
The other one, you do a really nice job on monuments, markers, and memorials. You know a great deal about this because, you know, having written the Great Fountains of Chicago.
Many of those are monuments, right?
Yes,
indeed we have seven or eight Lincoln statues in town.
You know, one of my favorites is the one in Sen Park. The young Lincoln is really beautiful statue before he had to go through what he had to go through. And the Haymarket Memorial, and another place that very few people go, but I've been lucky enough to stumble upon it. And this is something it's at 636 East 35th Street. It's the Stephen Douglas Tomb and Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
That's a remarkable space, don't you think,
Greg? Absolutely.
On page 218.
Yes.
It has the little giant, and, you know, Douglas had his serious problems, but he's atop this huge, huge
pillar,
whatever it is.
Yep. But that one probably won't come down, despite his questionable past, because it's over a burial site.
Right.
And that gives it a special protection.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about tearing down everything.
I agree with you on that one, but that one is safe. But interesting, too, across from the Douglas statue is a building built at the time of the Civil War.
Yeah, talk about that building. That's a remarkable thing.
1863 or 4, the building was put up, and it was partly funded when Abraham Lincoln sold a draft of the Gettysburg Address to different organizations that were trying to raise money to build this as a hospital for Union soldiers. And they succeeded. It went up, I think, by 1865 it was built and served a lot of handicapped, wounded soldiers, and the building's still standing today.
Is it in use now?
Yes, it is offices for the Catholic Archdiocese.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Beautiful building.
You could, Greg Borzo, never tire of Chicago. I can't imagine.
Very true.
I can't imagine. You ride your bike and you go all over the place, and
there's
always
just so much
something
there.
New.
We're in the middle of the Winter Olympics,
yeah.
But do people know that the Special Olympics was founded in
Absolutely.
Chicago?
Ann Burke, man. Ann Burke.
Ann Burke.
Ed Burke's lovely wife. Head of the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. The same year as the protest that you mentioned earlier at the Logan statue in 1968. The Special Olympics started right there at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And now what are they going to do with Soldier Field?
What are your thoughts about Soldier Field?
Well, I laughed my head off when I read Rick Hupke's column about turning it into a little garden for penguins. I think it would make a great pickleball center. You could get about 36
courts in there. Well, of course you would think. Again, Greg's book is dedicated to all my pickleball friends. Too numerous to be named here, but too good to be true. 0-0 start. He's given me a pickleball. I wish you could see it. I'll show it to Krista, and I can't see if Brett's even here. But on special Super Bowl Sunday, I'm holding in my hands a pickleball because he's gotten me hooked on exploring this. I used to play racquetball. I used to play
tennis.
Squash. I used to play handball. I used to play tennis, and now that I'm older, I need to play chess or checkers or something, but he's trying to hook me on pickleball.
And you'll meet a lot of young people playing.
I don't want to meet a lot of young people. I want to meet old. Great, the people I want to meet are old and infirm. I want to meet old and infirm and very, very slow.
So you can beat them.
Yes, because I live to beat them. I'm assuming I don't mean this as a joke. In the minute I have left. You might think about writing a pickleball book. I'm dead serious.
I should think about it.
You know, but you will always be writing. Greg, and I'll say it again, God love him, has no website, but you can look him up. Greg, last name Borzo, B-O-R-Z-O, and you can buy A History Lover's Guide to Chicago and all of his other fine books. It's great to see you, Greg.
Always good.
Congratulations with this
Thank
one. We could talk about this for hours. Get home safe.
Thanks much.
Get home safe and warm.